This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Our guest on today's This Week in America, world-renowned celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson, host of the new PBS series No Passport Required, a series that celebrates this country's diverse cultural mosaic, taking viewers to underexplored parts of American cities to showcase the people, places, and cuisine of immigrant communities. Each week, Marcus visits a new city to discover the dynamic and creative ways a particular immigrant community has made its mark. The wide-ranging diversity of immigrant traditions and cuisines woven into American food and culture. No Passport Required host and executive producer Marcus Samuelson next on today's This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's a vibrant portrait of America today. No Passport Required is a new series on PBS in cooperation with Eater, the most trusted voice in food and dining in the world, celebrating the wide-ranging diversity of immigrant traditions and cuisines woven into American food and culture. Each week, chef and host Marcus Samuelson visits a different American city to learn about how a particular immigrant community has influenced the area it now calls home. Marcus, an immigrant himself, was born in Ethiopia, raised in Sweden, now a celebrated chef, restaurateur, philanthropist, best-selling author, and resident of Harlem, the youngest chef to receive a 3-star review from the New York Times, named Best Chef New York City by the James Beard Foundation, regular guest on many TV shows, The Today Show, Top Chef, Iron Chef America, Chopped, and others, and in 2010, defeated 21 world-renowned chefs to win Bravo's Top Chef Masters Show, numerous bestsellers including The Red Rooster Cookbook, The Story of Food and Hustle in Harlem, and Marcus Off Duty, The Recipes I Cook at Home. Host and executive producer of No Passport Required, Tuesdays 9 Eastern Pacific on PBS, Marcus Samuelson with us on This Week in America. Marcus, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm super excited that tonight we're launching No Passport Required. And what a journey we were on. We had a great time going to 6 cities, learning amazing things and great stories from these immigrants and how they stuck together and how they became American and also created their business and their life in America.
You know, this is such an important show, especially now, and it's about so much more than food and chefs. You give us a rare look into the immigrant community. We really learn something about culture. We learn something about people as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, first of all, unless you're Native American, I guess we're all immigrants to this country in some shape or form.
Exactly.
And we all brought something with us. You know, for me, I remember the day when I came to America. It was something I always aspired to, and to be able to do a show like this, to share part of my story, but a story that I share with so many other immigrants, and to be able to go to Detroit, and as we're doing tonight, and share the Arab-American journey, you know, and also showing how diverse that is in by itself, whether you're Lebanese-American and been here for 50 years, like Samir, or whether you come from a Syrian, or whether you're a Syrian refugee and just came here a couple of months ago. And so we're learning that, looking under the hood, that it's very different. Each story has its own journey and hardship, but all of them are super patriotic and very happy about becoming Americans. And we're learning about their food. We're learning about their culture. Next, we go to New Orleans and we'll learn about the Vietnamese American community, Chicago, and learn about the Mexican community. So this is a love letter to both America and its diversity.
It's interesting, through food, you're giving people a chance to humanize this conversation that often gets heated that we're having now in the country. It gives us a whole different perspective, doesn't it? When we actually see people and we're interested in their stories, we're interested in their culture, and suddenly we care about these people.
No, and I love when you say that. I mean, the humanization of this conversation is super important. It's not just numbers. It's not just hard talk, what happens at borders. These are people that sacrificed everything to come here. And when you've done that, your chances of working really hard and sticking together and going through, you know, what I learned from the Vietnamese community in New Orleans, for example, they came here after the war in Vietnam had ended in the mid-70s. And yet came to New Orleans and Houston because a lot of them were shrimpers, so they could work in the same profession here. And then through the hardship of Katrina and how they, you know, stuck together and battled during those times. And now if you go to New Orleans, of course it's world famous for its Creole food and for its Cajun cooking. But in Nola East, you have some of the best Vietnamese food in the world. And it's just, it's an inspirational story that we all can learn from and be inspired by. And it's a story of entrepreneurship. It's a story of American families.
What did the series do for you? And I say that you mentioned that you're somewhat surprised at what everyone went through. I read in an interview, you said, "I didn't think I realized the extent of the sacrifices some of these people made." What impact? I know the impact it's going to have on us, because suddenly it's going to take these blinders off and we're going to understand what's out there and the value of diversity in this country. From your standpoint, what did you take away from doing this series and all of the friendships that you made along the way?
Well, That's a great question. What I really took away is that, you know, the stories that these families that we met are just some, that they represent millions, right?
Yes.
And they represent the millions of hard, to leave everything you know to go to a new country, it took you a long time to get to that point. And then to, you know, jump through the hoops and going through several countries to get to this border, and then eventually to get in, you care so much about where you came from, and you care so much about where you're going. So this question of identity, who am I? Who are we as a family? Who am I as new Americans? These are questions that are you're on a lifelong journey. So food and music and family becomes these things that you can hold on to that are very, very sacred to you. And you want to share them. And when I was invited in home to a Arab American family or Mexican American family, it wasn't just the food that was presented to me. It really represented the journeys in their life sacrifices for getting here. So that makes you taste the food in a completely different way. You know, in Miami, we're going through the Haitian American community, and there's a soup called Soup Jumon, which is a pumpkin soup, but it's really the soup of independence. And it's something that Haitian families all over the country hold very, very sacred to them, because it represents their journey of independence. And I think there's a lot of dishes like that and make me look at food very differently.
We're talking with world-renowned celebrity chef, restaurateur, best-selling author Marcus Samuelson, hosting New No Passport Required on PBS Tuesday nights, 9 Eastern Pacific. It's interesting the power of food in bringing people together. If you went to a conference and you were meeting people from the immigrants from, let's say, from Syria, you'd learn something about them. But you learn so much more when you, the old saying, breaking bread, you really get to learn something about somebody when you're sitting there sharing food and conversation, don't you?
No, absolutely. And it's both humbling, but it's also inspiring. Because, you know, I'm an immigrant to this country. I came to this country with not a lot of money, with a big dream. So this idea of dreaming big and believing in something, although times look tough at this very moment, I think it's very important. And hope is very, very important. And that's something that kept these families together. We're going to hear them. They're going to have different dialects, but they're very different. But I do think that as you go through this area, you can identify with them and say, hey, that's my neighbor. That could be us one day. And it's also going to make you look at ethnic restaurants very differently, because now when you go buy a place that is Lebanese food, you're going to know a little bit more about it. You're going to know what that Vietnamese pho, that dish that you've heard of but maybe never tasted. Now you might, you know, it opened up your curiosity. You might go in there and, you know what, isn't that what life is all about, trying new things and being exposed to different things?
I mentioned that you're from Ethiopia. You wrap up the series in Washington, D.C., and outside of Ethiopia, the largest population of Ethiopians in the world. Talk about that, because that's interesting. We get to see some of the spiritual rituals that are closely connected with the cuisine. So as we go into some of these restaurants, ethnic restaurants, and we're eating, it's not just about the food. We learn about their culture because of what you're talking about on the series.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ethiopian culture is very dear to my wife and myself. That's where we were born, and to be able to present it to America in a way. And we also talked about all the complexities and how being Ethiopian American is not monolithic. You can have very different experiences. We're meeting a musician that was a cab driver for 30 years, but he held on to the dream. And today, he's more popular than ever. But, you know, while picking up customers at the airport, he was practicing on his keyboard and just holding on, like listening to stories like that. Young families that came in with very little means, but they knew how to make the injera bread, this bread that is so important to us. And then that led to them starting their own business. So, you know, it's almost like Shark Tank all over again to an ethnic version.
Well, you know, you mentioned food, and they were suddenly selling the food. You learned for so many people, food was their first entree into this country. In fact, a number of them have made a living out of selling food.
Yeah, I think that as immigrants, you know, you know, maybe college wasn't available, or maybe other learning methods weren't available at the time, but you knew what you knew from the old country, which was very often around food, whether that was baking bread or doing certain dishes, and that's also something you can sell first to your own community, and then a couple of years later outside your community. So we see entrepreneurship, and we see people supporting one another. And I think it tells a big story also about how open-minded Americans have been, too, to being open to new culture, to different things.
You know, it's interesting in that first show when you're talking about Detroit, you meet a family of Syrian refugees in Dearborn, and you're sharing a home-cooked meal with them, and you talk about some of the misconceptions, and that's one thing the series is going to do is take some of this false narrative out there and do away with it once and for all. These are not dangerous people coming into this country to do harm.
No.
You're breaking down these stereotypes, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think that's super important that you know, we're all people, we're all humans, and we might pray to different people, and we might eat food that is spiced a little different, but at the end of the day, we have to humanize this conversation, and that's what we learn through different voices, different people, and I couldn't be more grateful to both PBS and to Vox, that an eater that really supports the show, that is, creates a show like this, that it's not easy to do. It took us a year and a half to put this together, and couldn't be more proud today to launch it on PBS. And you can also follow it through either, if that's your choice. And I think that's important to have different platforms, and so people can catch it. You know, a lot of people are traveling, a lot of people are on the go, but this gives us two options so people can catch it.
Yeah, the series can also be streamed at 9 Eastern on Tuesdays on PBS.org, the PBS Food No Passport Required site, PBS mobile and OTT apps, and the local PBS member station websites as well, and at Eater. So a number of opportunities to watch the program. And again, I mentioned it's not just restaurant people you're dealing with. If somebody that's got a great recipe, chances are you're going to end up in their kitchen working with them and learning. You've got a deep curiosity, don't you, as to what makes their food special?
Well, I think, you know, restaurant is one way to experience food, and it's probably the most public way as we know it, but a lot of great cooks are not in restaurants. They're home cooks, or they have other different types of day jobs, but they're all connected and feel passionate about cooking. So whether you're an artist or musician, so we learn food through, to see food being cooked and developed and talked about and loved and cared about through so many different characters and personalities, and making them come alive. And I think that is what is really the core at immigrant culture. You know, like I said, great food is not always experienced in restaurants. As a matter of fact, probably most times not in restaurants.
A couple minutes left in the program. We're talking with Marcus Samuelson, host of No Passport Required on PBS, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern Pacific. You're 23 years old. You're an immigrant. You come to the U.S. What was that experience like to get over this? I'm sure some trepidation as you're coming into this whole new country. What was that experience like for you? Because it didn't take you long where you really established yourself. You were living the American dream, and you did it very, very early on. What was that experience like at 23 when you come to the U.S.?
Well, my experience has been an amazing journey, and it was helped by a lot of people that mentored and supported me. So I realized that my experience is very unique. I was able to get a job. I was able to contribute right away, and New York and America has been incredible to me, and this is one of the reasons why I want to share and do this show, because as an immigrant, I think it's important that we speak up, but also share positive experiences that as I was lucky to have. I realized that mine was unique. A lot of people came as refugees and came on a much, much harder terms, and so that's something that, you know, America has been extremely good to me, and this is me and my wife's journey, but I also are extremely humbled by listening and hearing some of these stories that was not as easy, was much tougher than mine. And that's really what the show is about. It's a love letter to this country, to its diversity, and how hard we work together to come to this point.
We're talking with world-renowned celebrity chef, best-selling author Marcus Samuelson, the host of No Passport Required with Marcus Samuelson. It's on PBS Tuesday nights, 9 Eastern Pacific. Marcus, an excellent series. We really need a program like this now. Congratulations on this series. Thank you so much for sharing that with us on the program today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, bye.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws. And now, you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's full summer party mode on MTV. Time for a little Sweet Home Floribama and the chant, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. Yep, season two of Floribama Shore. Our favorite Southerners back to Panama City Beach, the hottest beach town of the Gulf Coast, for spring break and to see what life's next chapter holds for them. Season 1, Floribama Shore, was the number one original cable series in its time period and the number two original unscripted cable series for the entire year. All eight original cast members are back, including Jeremiah and Candace. Jeremiah, originally from Amelia Island, Florida, at an early age took an interest in acting and fitness. He's worked as a bartender at the Ritz-Carlton in Amelia Island, done some modeling, huge following on Instagram and Twitter. Candace, from Memphis, has spent some time in New York City and Hollywood, done some modeling, TV hosting, considered the voice of reason in the house, also active on Instagram and Twitter. From Floribama Shore, by the way, from the producers of the legendary Jersey Shore, Floribama Shore, back for season two on MTV, premiering Monday, July 9th, 10 Eastern Pacific, and Jeremiah and Candace with us on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Rick. It's awesome. Good to be here.
Thank you, Rick.
We are looking forward to season two. And what's interesting, season two, Floribama Shore, all eight original cast members are back. That's highly unusual. It seems like the eight of you came together. It's almost like a real family, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. A crazy dysfunctional family, but it's a family.
We're getting teased with new shoremances, broken bromances. Okay, what are we going to see in season two?
Well, as you can see, there's definitely a lot of drama that ensues in season two, and it starts right out of the gate. I feel like, though, you'll notice how we've come a lot closer together. I mean, I feel like Candace said, we are a dysfunctional family, but in the end, we know each other a lot more now. With season one, we were seven strangers, basically, to this one person, and I feel like now we're a lot different because we know each other. We know each other's buttons and which one to push. Unfortunately, that's what starts a lot of the drama. So, just like siblings, we know how to start a fight with each other.
What's this like going into season two? You mentioned season one. You're not real sure quite what to expect, and the audience not quite real sure what to expect. Now we feel like we know you going into season two. What's it like? Is there a comfort factor for the eight of you going into season two? At least now you know the process and you understand the others that are with you in the house.
I will say, as far as the audience and knowing us in season one, you really know it, because in season two, you are really going to get to know, like, us, what makes us tick, everything. Like, we all, I think what's interesting about our show and who we are as a cast is everybody has kind of a persona, and we don't have that. Like, we go deep into our backgrounds. We have very emotional conversations. You really get to know things about our family, things about where we come from and why we are the way we are. So
I feel like that's why a lot of people really reacted well to us, because they could tell how genuine we were being, especially on TV. And I feel like the comfort level, sure, the first 3 days when you walk into a house and it's filled with cameras and whatnot, it's very awkward. But I feel like once we actually started to just relax and let go and just appreciate the company that we had with our other roommates, I feel like that's when we fully became ourselves and just started relaxing and kicking with everybody. So,
you know, the keys to a good reality television, a cast that interacts well, and you've got that, but being able to connect and relate with the audience. And once you start watching, you realize these guys are just like I am. Do you feel that relatability is there? Do you hear that when you're talking to the fans?
Oh, my God, yes. Like, there's somebody for everybody to relate to on the show. There's somebody for everybody. So no matter who's watching, no matter your background, your race, like, it doesn't matter the demographic, there's somebody that you can look at the show and you will see somebody that you relate to. So it's amazing how, like, we're able to connect with our fans just from, like, you know, us having followings on Instagram and people sending us messages and being like, you know, I understand why you did that and things like that. So,
well, and also the funniest thing is, too, I feel like with a few people in the cast, for me especially, after episode 4, I believe, not too many women liked me. But then after episode 5 or 6, it really changed. So it really goes to show that the more you watch, the more you actually get to know the person, instead of just judging initially off of one conversation that was had. And I feel like that's one thing I noticed, too, with a lot of Instagram posts and whatnot. They really, like, started to love me a little bit more as the season progressed, too. And I feel like that's just with any relationship that you have with anybody. The longer you're with them, you start to realize who they are as a person, and you either like them or you hate them, you know? And so I feel like I'm definitely grateful for all the fans that continued watching to get to know the real me.
What's it like with the world watching? The ratings were excellent last year, a runaway hit on MTV, and we're talking about Floribama Shore premiering second season Monday, July 9th, 10 Eastern Pacific. Jeremiah, Candace, 2 of the 8 with us on This Week in America. What's that like? Because the world is watching, and now the world doesn't watch silently. They give you immediate feedback. What's that like adjusting to that? It's like, wow, they're talking about me, and that's not me at all.
To be honest with you, Rick, it's what comes with it. So, you know, we all knew what we were signing up for. When you do reality TV, you literally put your life, your world, your emotions, everything about your personal life out there for people to put their opinions in. And we now know that social media has given people the platform to be able to say things about you. And, you know, you take it as a grain of salt. 4Not5 Productions and MTV prepares us very well. As far as giving us the support that we need to kind of maneuver through the season, as, you know, some people go through the weeks where they're not so liked, and then, you know, you turn around and then all of a sudden you give an apology and the world loves you again. It's just like, you know, they're very supportive in that. And also, like, you know, with the online bullying, I cannot stand that. You know, you really have to be a strong person to do reality TV, to move past and overlook people saying things to hurt you just because you're on television.
Well, yeah, and I feel like, too, also to go on top of that, I feel like being comfortable in your own skin and who you are as a person, that's what makes our show unique. It's very genuine, 100%. And I feel like with our Southern background, too, we're very kind, too, to other people. So when we don't receive it back, we're still going to be genuine with who we are and comfortable with the fact that, hey, if you like me, you like me. If not, oh, well. And I feel like that's one thing I can say about myself, is that I'm 100% comfortable in my own skin. And if people have something bad to say about me, I know they don't know me. So in the end, it's just noise. And so for me, it's easy to avoid. Other people, it affects them a little bit differently. And so it's just, I feel like it's always a hard task to deal with people. It's just dealing with them in the right way. That's the hardest part about it.
Second season of MTV's hit series Floribama Shore, premiering Monday, July 9th, 10 Eastern Pacific. All 8 original cast members are back, including our guest on the program, Jeremiah and Candace. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Really looking forward to season 2 of Floribama Shore. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.